Pastor mentioned tonight, he said, you don't have as many blanks as I do. And that's because the more blanks I have in mind, the more blank I go, I think, in my preaching. So we're trying to keep it simple here tonight. Really excited about the topic that we're going to look at this evening. And I hope that you will be too. But our springboard tonight comes right out of 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice with me verse 18, a classic verse. Really, this verse is at the core of so many of the things that we do in the youth group. And I want to draw attention to it tonight, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Notice what the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Have you ever noticed how excited we get just about growth in general? I can remember as a kid, and I'm sure some of these kids can right now relate to this. How many of you kids at home have a place in your house where you mark off how tall you're getting? I want to see your hands. Who does anybody have that? Okay, I'm seeing hands all over. Now, how many of you, when you go up there to get measured again, you hope that you're just a little bit shorter than you were last time? Anybody like... No, not at all. We get excited about growth. Kids get excited about growth. I remember, of all things, as a kid, wanting to be in a larger shoe size, and just being enamored with, boy, if I can get out of this, you know, these 5 and 6 sizes here. I mean, the dream of maybe getting into a double digit size at one point. Well, it thrilled my heart. I think I even told Mom and Dad that even when they were a little big, oh, they feel fine. There's just something about getting a bigger size. And, you know, for us adults, boy, we sort of gravitate towards growth as well, don't we? But we normally do it when we look at our kids. We look at little kids and we see, we get excited for their growth. Maybe they begin to walk or they begin to, you know, if they can pick up new skills and things. It's just captivating. It gets us excited. And physical growth can very much be that way, but how much more the idea of spiritual growth in our lives and in the lives of others. Tonight I want to look at this topic, and the topic tonight, if you see there, if you have your notes, it's getting excited about spiritual growth. You know, as I said, one of my passions about being a youth pastor is seeing teenagers make decisions for the Lord and learn to walk with Him. And to be able to stand back from a distance and to see the growth over time as that takes place. But I not only need to be attentive to and encouraged by the growth that I see in other people, but as we'll see tonight, the Lord wants me to be attentive to the growth that is taking place in my own heart and life. And as we look at this tonight, we're going to answer some questions that relate to this topic of spiritual growth. So let's go get right into it now. You've got your notes there. If you've got your pen handy, we're going to look at number one. What does it mean to grow in grace, as Peter talks about here? What's the idea behind this? You know, and it is important that we define our terms. I learned this just this past week. I was talking to a parent of somebody who is not connected with our ministry, but I'm hoping someday will be. They've got a teenage boy, and I always enjoy talking about our ministry here, about the youth group and things that we do, the exciting activities that we plan, and the fun things that we offer for the kids, but also the Bible study. I just enjoy talking about our ministry. And as I was talking with them, somewhere along the line, it may have been something I said, I don't know, but we were talking about athletics, and somewhere along the line, she got in her mind that we offered some type of gymnastics team here as for our sports. And I don't know if you've ever, you're trying to be polite as somebody's talking about something and you don't want to be rude and cut in, but she just kept going on about the gymnastics program at Temple Baptist Church. And I set her straight, and I'm not sure how she got off on that, but it is important that we understand terms, right? And especially when it comes to Bible terminology. So notice what Peter says. He says here, but to grow in grace. So we're going to pick this apart just a little bit. Before we talk about what this is talking about, let's talk about what it's not talking about. Because sometimes when we talk about spiritual growth or growth in Christ, growing in grace, sometimes there are some misconceptions that we all can have in relation to it. Number one, this is, I believe, your first blank there, what growing in grace is not. Let's look at this. Number one, it's not becoming more saved. Somebody may, a new Christian or maybe somebody who doesn't know the Bible might read this and say, well, for by grace are you saved. So does that mean if I'm growing in grace, I'm becoming more saved as I go along? And of course, that's not what Peter's talking about in the least bit here. It's not becoming more saved. It's not age restricted, the second blank there. And this is important for us to understand because sometimes on two different ends of the spectrum, we can struggle with this. For instance, maybe a child or someone who has been saved at a young age, or even maybe some teenagers view spiritual growth as something that older Christians do or are involved in. And the same can be said for maybe a seasoned Christian who's been saved for many years, maybe on the opposite end of the spectrum, look at it and say, well, that's spiritual growth is something that young people are going through. So it's a misconception, really, because growing in grace, growing in our walk with the Lord, spiritual growth is not age restricted. Notice the third thing, it's not capped. Let me tell you what I mean by this. Those of you who are familiar with professional sports understand that most of them have a salary cap for their team, which means that they can't spend above a certain amount of money to acquire the players for their team. So they have to cut people. They have to make sure that they're underneath that salary cap. They cannot go beyond a certain number there. And the neat thing about spiritual growth is that there's no cap. You know, sometimes we may think, well, spiritual growth is something that's already taken place in my life. But as we'll see tonight, that's a continuing process. And so Christians, you and me both, ought to rejoice in the fact that it's not capped. Notice, fourth of all, it's not just a list of do's and don'ts. Spiritual growth is not just a list of do's and don'ts. You know, some people mistakenly boil down the Christian life to just simply, I have to do this and I can't do that. And that's really sad because people who view the Christian life that way are obviously missing out on the relationship aspect that we have with the Lord. So we see that it's not a list of do's and don'ts. And lastly here of what growing in grace is not, it's not perfection. You know, some people may have the idea that growing in grace has to do with just simply being a perfect Christian. Somebody who grows in grace, that's something for the super spiritual people. And as we'll see tonight, that is not the case. So we see what growing in grace is not. But now as we dig into 2 Peter, I want us to answer this question, what growing in grace actually is. So let's look at it. Notice, put your eyes on it with me one more time, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first blank that you have there, according to Peter, it's a command given to Christians, that first blank, a command given to all Christians. And this is important for us to understand because this is not something that is just, selective. Some groups take part in it, some people do not. But it's something that is given to all of us. It's an imperative here. We're commanded as Christians to grow. Notice second of all here, not only is it a command given to all Christians, but notice number two, it's a command to increase. This word here for grow has the idea to increase or to enlarge. We could say even to advance. So we're being told here by the Lord that we as Christians need to move forward or advance or increase or enlarge in a specific regard. I was reading an article this past week that was talking about animals that cannot go backwards. There are actually some. In fact, kangaroos do not have the ability to walk backwards. They can't go backwards. They've got their legs that propel them forward, and they've got their tail that drags the ground that stabilizes them. And you will never see a kangaroo go backwards. All right, and if you do, I want to see the video because the article I saw said they couldn't. Penguins are another one. Penguins, they sort of waddle around. It's kind of funny to think of them, you know, really walking, but they don't have the ability to go backwards. I thought that's interesting. And you know, for the Christian, the Lord wants us to advance. He wants us to go forward. He wants us to grow, as it were, a command to increase. And Peter's really specific here. in what regard? If we're to go forward or increase or advance or enlarge in some way, what are those ways? And here he says the first area is the grace of Christ. We could say it, the graces of Christ. We could put it this way, even the fruits of the Spirit. Advancing in my love, my joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, and the faith, to be able to advance in those areas of my life. So we ask ourselves, is that something that I am doing right at this present moment? And am I advancing in my love? Am I advancing in my faith? Part of the command that's given here in 2 Peter. So he says, in the grace of Christ, grow in the spirit of Christ's likeness. And then he says, in the knowledge of Christ. Not only in the grace of Christ, but in the knowledge of Christ. Of course, we do this by educating ourselves according to the Word of God. So we see here three ways. Like I said, it's a command given to Christians, a command to increase. And then third of all, we see it's a command to never stop. The other really neat thing about this verb that's used here is it has the idea of continuous ongoing action. It's something, in other words, we could say it this way, to increase continually. So in other words, there's never a point in my Christian life when I get to be, 80, whatever, 90 years old, however the Lord allows me to live, there's never a point where I get to the place where somebody says spiritual growth and I say, yep, been there, done that. Now, although I may be able to look back, and boy, how many of you can say just by the uplifted hand that there's been some growth that's taken place in my life and I'm thankful to the Lord, hands up everywhere. Yes, because we understand that the Lord, over the process of time, begins to work in our heart, and it's so encouraging to see the growth that takes place. But it is a command that to never stop. I love the examples that we can see in Scripture of that process taking place. Some of the greatest examples, I think, of the man that wrote this book, Pastor talked about it on Sunday even. You see, Peter and all of his brashness coming out and claiming almost to have a grip on every situation and coming forward in confidence. And yet that's the same Christian that over the process of time wrote in 1 Peter, listen, continue to add to your faith. There's a humility about him, and the growth process has spanned a lifetime, and he's made decisions and he's grown for the Lord. I think about the Apostle Paul. You think about an individual who was probably a little rough around the edges. A person that was comfortable, killing Christians, he gets saved. Sometimes we take a bird's eye view of people in the Bible and we say, wow, that change must have just been instantaneous. And whereas there were some definite things that changed on day one in his life, but no doubt there was a process of growth that took place over the course of his ministry, even to the point where he's able to write different groups at different locations and greet them with grace and peace. Boy, the process of spiritual growth, boy, it's exciting. Boy, it's encouraging to see. And it's something the Lord wants all of us to be a part of even now. We see it's a command given to Christians, a command to increase. We see a command that never stops. These men that we just discussed, they all had struggles. They had different growth rates, but each were committed to never stop growing in the Lord. I want us to notice, secondly, tonight, as you see your main bullet point there. Secondly, as we sort of move on from this, I want us to answer this question. What is the evidence of spiritual growth? So we sort of defined it a little bit here. Let's go a little bit deeper and let's say, okay, let's look to our own lives now, okay? What are the evidences that we see in Scripture of someone who is actively growing in the Lord? And before we did that, as we did with the previous point, I want us to notice the opposite side first. And to do that, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you turn there with me tonight? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like for you to put your eyes on this, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read the first four verses here. But we're going to notice, first of all, what spiritual infancy looks like. Okay, so this is the opposite. This is someone who has accepted the Lord, but for whatever reason, even though they've had a period of time where they could have grown, they have not. They've remained spiritual babies. And notice what Paul says to the Corinthians here. And I want us to notice, just briefly, three marks of spiritual infancy, as he says it here. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice verses 1 through 4. Look at what the Bible says. And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Right? These are newborn Christians. And he says, I'm having to speak to you in language relates to new Christians. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So here we know that there was a process of time in their lives where they could have been growing, but for whatever reason they have not been. Notice verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For whether hither there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another of I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Notice just quickly three quick things that we see that relate to spiritual infancy. And that is number one, Paul says that these folks were concerned with self. They were concerned with self. That's that blank there. Concerned with self. He uses the word here, carnal. That is the idea of fleshly living. In other words, these were Christians who had taken the step of salvation, said, I want to follow Christ. And then we see now that they're focused on living for themselves. That certainly can happen to any of us. And that was one of the characteristics here. They're serving themselves. They're carnal, the Bible says. They were concerned with self. Notice another mark of spiritual infancy. They choose argument over action. Argument over action. Notice some of the words here that describe some of the conflict that was taking place. It says, verse 3, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. So you see here a mark of spiritual infancy in their lives. As Paul saw it, he said, listen, you know, you're living for self, and sort of as a result of that, you've got all this strife that's taking place in your life. You can't seem to get along with anybody. You've got dissension, you've got envying, and you've got strife, and it's just constant conflict with you. And that's something here that he marks as a mark of spiritual infancy. Notice the third thing, very quickly, he says here, in the latter parts of verse 4, he says, while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? The third thing here as we see it is it concentrate on people rather than God. Concentrate on people rather than God. You know, there can be a great blessing to being attentive to those who are seasoned Christians, who have experience in walking with the Lord. And the Bible even talks about how much we can learn from those people. And yet there, at the same time, is a caution here that Paul is giving us about placing those individuals even on a higher pedestal than maybe we would the Lord. These Corinthian believers were sort of lining up behind men and saying, well, hey, you know, this is what I believe, this person believes this, and boy, I'm all on board, and sort of being all in when Paul says, hold everything, wait a second here. We follow God. He's the one we need to have our eyes on. You know, sometimes people become very disillusioned with Christianity sometimes because they're so focused on another Christian that when that Christian falls, it begins to shake their entire belief system. You know, Paul said this, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And the assumption there is when I stop following, and if I were to stop following Christ, you keep following Christ. Paul warns them, he says, listen, this is behavior that is associated more with people who have not known the Lord very long, and people who have not taken the opportunity to focus on their walk with the Lord and to grow. Marks of spiritual infancy. Notice here as we turn it now, and we see exactly what spiritual growth looks like. All right, what does spiritual infancy look like? What does spiritual growth look like? And I don't want you to turn to all of these passages. If you want, you can turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3 because we're not done there. But I want you to listen to some verses. I've got several that I want to read. And as you just sit there, I want you to sort of digest some of this truth as it relates to some of the marks that we're going to mention here. So first of all, what does spiritual growth look like according to the Scriptures? Well, I want us to see, number one, there's an increase in love. There's an increase in love. You say, Brother Scott, what are some marks? Okay, if I wanna measure my life and the growth that has happened in it according to a measuring device, what are we using to measure? Well, we're using the Bible, and several writers draw attention to this idea of love, the growth of love in a believer's life. Listen to these verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, "And the Lord make you to increase," there's that word again, "and abound in love one towards another." Okay, that's love of Christians and toward all men. He goes on, "even as we do towards you." 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 10, again, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren," which are in all Macedonia. "We beseech you, brethren, that you increase," there's that word again, "more and more." John 13 and verse 35, Jesus said this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." 1 John 3 and verse 14, "We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Paul wrote a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians on the need for love in the believer's life. So you say, Brother Scott, how do we measure our growth by what the Lord says ought to be represented in a growing Christian's life? Well, first of all, we take a look at our love. We say, how is my love for other Christians? Do I find that I'm selective in that love? Well, how is my love for the unsaved man? How is my love for that coworker that boy, just never seems to have a kind word to say to me across the room? He says, add love, increase in love. Notice not only love, but also increase in faith. That's the next blank there. Increase in love, increase in faith. Listen to these verses as well. Some of the very same language. I love this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. And why? "As it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and that charity in every one of you all towards each other abounds." I love that. Growing in faith. Are we growing in faith actively? Do we find ourselves in a season of doubt? Do we find ourselves easily wandering in our thoughts towards fear and doubt and full of care? The Lord wants us to continue to grow, not only in love, but also in faith. Notice with me here, another, and that is the increase in knowledge, the increase of knowledge of God. Brother Jeremy talked about this on Sunday night in his message, prescriptions from Psalms. I enjoyed that so much. But Colossians 1 and verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful unto every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Peter says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 when he says, "Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior." You know, I think this is important for all of us because I think that sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking that we can live in the strength of maybe some Bible reading that we've done at the beginning of the week and allow that to carry us through to the end of the week. Well, have you ever had that thought before? Well, like, I spent extra amount of time yesterday in my Bible reading, my devotions, and, you know, I think that's good to carry me, you know, through the rest. But the Lord wants us to increase in knowledge. So that means that I have to say, okay, right now, am I actively doing things to expand my knowledge of the Lord, to challenge my knowledge in regards to who He is and what He means in my life? It's another mark of a mature believer, an increase in knowledge of God. Number four, and lastly here in this regard, an increase of desire to serve others. Great words here from Paul. He says in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before." Paul had accomplished much in his life, but he was looking forward to the next serving opportunity that the Lord was giving him. Now, these are the areas of growth that take place and that should be taking place in our lives according to the Word of God. But you know as well as I do that sometimes that process is not taking place And if we had to be honest tonight, we'd have to say that there are seasons in our lives where we seem to grow more than others. And for whatever reason, there's a cooling that takes place in our lives. And I want to look at that thought as well. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 5, we'll address this. Hebrews chapter 5. And notice with me verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Give you just a second to turn there. But we're noticing why we sometimes stop growing. Why do Christians sometimes stop growing? Have you ever thought about that? Lord, why is my desire for you to grow right now? Why does that seem to be cooling in my life? Lord, why is it that I look back on a couple of years ago and I see, boy, I was running after you with everything I had, and boy, it just seems like recently there's been a little bit of a cooling experience in my life. Have you ever thought about that? Well, Paul actually, or the writer of Hebrews, many people believe it was Paul, but I want us to notice Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 through 14. Put your eyes on this just for a second. Notice what the Bible says. Writer says here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discernment, discern both good and evil. Very quickly, why we sometimes stop growing. Paul draws attention to number one, because the people here had become dull of hearing. The word here, dull, has the idea of being sluggish or even being slothful. I wonder how many parents this morning would attest to the fact, or tonight would attest to the fact, that getting your kids up in the morning can be a trying experience. I wonder how many of us adults would have to say getting ourselves up in the morning can be a trying experience. Well, I remember as a kid, this didn't happen too many times, but there was a period where my mom would come in, she would get me up going, she'd say, all right, the day's starting, get up, get out of bed, and we got to get ready for school. And I would acknowledge her, I'm getting up. And then as she faded into the hallway, one eye went whoop, and the other eye went whoop. And I was off to sleep again. Mom would come by the door and she'd say, what, you're not up yet? What's going on? Come on, get out of bed. We got to get going. It's time to go to school. And after that process had taken place a few times, she came up with an idea. She said, I wonder how he would feel about some water in his face on a nice morning. He can't seem to get out of bed. Now, parents, this is very effective, let me just tell you. All right, a nice spray bottle, a little bit of water. You just come on up there. Are you awake? Mm-hmm. Okay. Boy, I'll tell you, that got me motivated really, really quickly. That didn't have to happen too many times. I didn't like water in the face on a morning like that. But I'll tell you, that got me moving. But you know, there are times, as the writer of Hebrews attests, that we just sort of become a little sluggish in our Christian life. We become a little bit slothful. The idea here of hard to move is at the core of that word. And you know, really, if we stop and think about that, you know, being hard to move can mean that the Lord is asking us to do something that we're maybe refusing to do. You know, I think one of the biggest hindrances to spiritual growth in all of our lives can just simply be telling the Lord no. Boy, you talk about stunting spiritual growth. You know, there are people, there are Christians who have accepted the Lord and who have come to a fork in the road where they could either obey the Lord or say no. And I'll tell you, those roads, the further they go out, get further and further apart from each other. They're just simply becoming dull to the Lord. Hard to move will stunt our growth. He also says here, not only that, he says becoming dull of hearing, but also forgetfulness. He says that you have need of to teach you again. In other words, they had forgot some things they'd been taught. He also says this, unskilled in the word. Maybe they reached a point, something they didn't understand, and they didn't care to ask anybody about it, and so they just kind of let it lie, and they've sort of gone to not help their spiritual growth. And then lastly, here says a lack of discernment. We've got to hurry and finish this. I'm going to give you these blanks, and I hope that you'll get some time maybe to think over some of this. But anyway, lack discernment. And that's a lot of times why we stop growing as Christians. And so what do we need to focus on then? What are the means that God uses to help us grow? And you know what? I think that if we went around the room tonight, I think that even some of the kids could answer some of these blanks. I think because they are so fundamental to the Christian life. And really, I don't think that you and I struggle so much in regards to knowing what we need to do in order for growth to take place. But let's fill in these blanks nonetheless. Notice this. He uses his word. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Boy, we cannot underestimate the power of God's word to influence our lives and to help us grow on a daily basis. Are we reading his word? Boy, it's necessary if growth's going to take place. Number two, he uses the Spirit of God. And this is one of the most encouraging points to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory by ourselves, no, by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, and this is where we don't have to feel overwhelmed with that list of, wow, all these, I got to remember all these things. All these things I can't do and all these things. And people get overwhelmed, but to realize that, hey, it's not I, but it's Christ in me. Boy, I'm living the Christ life that is enabled by the Spirit of God. So that when I wake up in the morning, I realize that, Lord, you know what? I'm going to live this life for you. And if I'm going to grow, it's not going to be because of Scott Devane. Now, I have some choices to make, that's for certain, but I've got to be able to yield to the Holy Spirit and the things that He is wanting to teach me in my life. And you know what the Bible tells us? Growth will take place. Boy, it's a promise. You say, I've got an area of my life that's just, it's been a struggle point. And then to realize that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and that all we have to do is to yield to His Spirit. And watch that growth take place in our lives. Boy, parents, this is a tremendous truth to work with our kids on. You know, every single one of us have things that we need to work on. And us parents, we can identify those needs in our families pretty quickly. But even to be able to comfort our kids and to say, listen, you know what? You struggle with this. And you know what? That's okay, because the Lord can help you with this. And the Lord can meet this need. And if you obey Him, you're going to see Him do it. And you're going to be able to look back and say, wow, the Lord grew me. Boy, that's an encouraging thought. But growth comes by the Word. It comes by the Spirit of God. Number three, He uses trouble and experience. This is a part of it, isn't it? This is the part of using that knowledge that we have of the Lord and then being able to translate it on the path that He's put us on. And He uses that trouble and experience. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to His purpose. And then finally, He uses the fellowship of believers. Galatians 6 and verse 1 details the role of spiritual people in our lives. It's a special thing. You know, physical growth, boy, it's exciting. Quite frankly, it's one of the most exciting things in the Devane home right now. It is. I mean, we've got a baby, a month and a half old, and she's growing. She is. You can't see it on a daily basis, but boy, she's growing out of outfits, and we've got about 500,000 of them. It's neat to watch. She's a little bit, whoa, I can't zip this up anymore. She's getting big, you know? It's exciting. You know, the kids, boy, you know, learning to ride a bike, learning this skill, learning that skill, learning science, learning math, and being able to stand back and watch and, wow, that's, you know what? These milestones, boy, just fun to watch. Exciting even. How much more spiritual growth? Boy, how much more important the spiritual growth of our kids. And how important is our spiritual growth? My growth included. And I think if there was a point, to an all-encompassing point here tonight, it would be this, is that the Lord wants us to every day grow in Him. So I guess the question for us tonight is, are we going to continue to say yes to the Lord? Continue on that path of growth? Or will we struggle with some of those other things? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Father, Lord, you've given us a tremendous opportunity to become more like Christ. Lord, you didn't have to do that. Lord, you didn't have to give us a path for growth in our lives. Lord, and yet you have. And Father, you have not made it more difficult for us to handle. And Lord, that's encouraging. Father, may we get excited about the spiritual growth of our kids. Lord, give us a burden for it. Lord, may we help them. May we assist them. But Lord, at the same time, may we be burdened for our own spiritual growth. And Lord, never get to the place where we're complacent or even feel like, Lord, we've already accomplished that. Oh God, would you help us? Give us direction. Give us eyes to see the areas we need to grow in. And we'll give you the glory.